This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. Amen. Please be seated. It's time like that, prayer that I just read, when I wish I had Father Marty's voice, because this hymn deserves to be sung. Precious Lord, take my hand. Today we come to the end of the long journey we have taken with Jesus since June from Galilee to Jerusalem in Luke's Gospel. On that long journey, Jesus has healed the sick, argued with the Pharisees and Sadducees, taught his disciples, and tried to prepare them for a future without his physical presence. It has not been easy for him or for them. As I was praying with this week, I couldn't help thinking about St. Joseph's. This year, we have been with Jesus, not only on the hot, dusty roads of Palestine, but also right here in Boynton Beach. A deadly virus took beloved friends and family members from us. The cost of living rose to a new high. Gun violence claimed the lives of children and those who tried to protect them. And once again, armies rolled across Europe. Even here at St. Joseph's, we are struggling to be followers of Jesus in the midst of rumors and untruths. Like Jesus, we are tired, and like Jesus, we seek truth and peace and rest. And Jesus assures us, be not afraid. These words endure, and their promise is not diminished by earthquake, war, flood, or famine. When I was a little girl, I went to Catholic school, and of course, we knew the story of Martha and Mary. I think everybody knows that story. And I think it does terrible things sometimes to some of the little girls in the classes that learn about them. I know that it troubled me a lot when I heard about it. I felt pretty good because my name was Mary, so I identified with the Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and who had the better part. Always a good thing. But I wonder about the girls whose name was Martha. And so in our minds, we split ourselves and we were either a Mary, regardless of the name, or a Martha. But that was not Jesus' agenda, and it still is not Jesus' agenda. When he tells Martha that Mary has, quote, chosen the better part, he's not challenging Martha's personality, nor is he even rejecting Martha's present busyness, but is instead gently calling her back to the fullness of herself, reminding her of both the ground of her being and the purposeful endpoint of all of this good, hard, and necessary work, namely himself. Martha lives and serves, as we all do, in the name of Jesus, the one who has knocked upon her door and who now abides in the midst of her activities. It is his holy name that imbues her practical work and who now abides in the midst of her activities. It is his holy name that imbues her practical work with luminous significance, the cooking and the cleaning and the mending and the tending of small daily things, all of this holds the possibility of divine inbreaking, but only when those things are done in mindfulness of God's ever-present love. That mindfulness is what we must bring to the table as disciples. And so Jesus simply wants Martha not to lose sight of him, knowing as he does how easy it is to become worried and distracted by many things. A long time ago, before I was ever a priest, before I was ever an Episcopalian, I worked in Catholic parishes in New York as a pastoral associate because I didn't have the plumbing for to be an associate pastor. So I was always working with priests, and I was very fortunate to work with very fine priests. But often I felt kind of schizophrenic because all day long I was doing very sort of religious things. I saw people for spiritual direction. I ran small groups. I assisted at the altar because we had daily masses. And then I would go home at night to a husband, two children, and a dog. Whereas my colleagues, the celibate Catholic priests, could go out for dinner, see their friends, or just go to bed if they were tired. And I used to think, how can I do this? How can I be this all day and then go home and be this? And I remember saying it to a friend of mine who was, in fact, a psychologist. And he said to me, well, Mary, you're not doing two things. You're not splitting yourself in half. You are in both this place and that place. And what or who do you bring with you? Well, that gave me a lot to think about. And the point he was making, which is really, I was doing in both places what I felt God was calling me to do. I was called to be married. I was called to have children. I'm not sure about the dog. But I was also called to be in the parish, to be available to people, to reflect, because women don't preach in the Catholic Church. So when you get to speak at church, you reflect. I had a very good priest friend who said to me, oh, sure, we get up there and we preach at the gospel. And then after communion, sister gets up and says, what father meant to say. So he was right about that too. But the point was that it was Jesus who was important in everything we did. And so to put down things like cooking and cleaning and taking care of children and going to the store and buying food and all of that kind of thing, if you're doing it with the consciousness that Jesus is with you and that you're doing it for Jesus and that it is a mission and not just an obligation that you go through every day, then that is just as holy as sitting in the chapel or listening to someone who needs a listening ear. Or even to be on that altar or here in this pulpit. It's not that one is better than the other. And when Jesus says, you know, Mary has chosen the better part, and it shall not be taken from her, I looked that up to see why, when I didn't think Jesus was preaching one better than the other, what it was all about. And I have a whole series of books that explain different things. So I looked it up, and what it said was that in that time, women did not sit at the feet of the rabbi to hear what the rabbi was teaching. Only men could sit at the feet of the rabbi. And so it took courage for Mary to do what she was doing. And Jesus appreciated that as well. And what he's saying to Martha is, you are doing what you feel called to do for me. You have welcomed me into your house. You're feeding me. You have brought all my friends with me. You didn't complain. And Mary does something very shocking at the time by sitting with the men and just listening to me. So how would you, Martha, decide which was more important or which was better? What Jesus offers, then, is not a competition between Mary and Martha as archetypes of greater and lesser discipleship, nor a distinction between the relative virtues of being and doing, but instead a continuous and crucial choice that each one of us must make in all that we do, between remembering Jesus or forgetting him. This is a gospel story that calls us to remember. This is a gospel story in which Martha is asked, as we are, to do this, all of this, everything. I was splitting my life into two parts, and my friend forced me to confront that and realize that there weren't two parts, there was only one part. And that was me, as long as I remembered that everything I was doing was an answer to the call of Jesus in my life. And that's true of all of us. It's really not easy, but it's simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. And how badly we need that reminder, especially now, caught up as we are in the continuous maelstrom of those many things that trouble the world around us. How tempting it can be to look at the state of the world, or even the state of the church, and to feel a low-grade panic rise in our throats, repeating to ourselves like a mantra or a plea, more to be done, there's more to be done, more to be done. Of course there's more to be done, much more, and much of it will be different from what we have done before and who we have been before. The kingdom requires us to roll up our sleeves. But as we do so, as we make our lists and tend to the cracks and the spills and the dusty corners of our days, we cannot forget that we do not act by ourselves or for ourselves. We do so in the name of Jesus. We do so in and through the power of his peace. This is what Martha needed to remember. And it is a necessary reminder whenever we sit down as individuals or as a community to consider who we are and where we are going. We must ask ourselves not only what to do, but why and for whom. Why do we work so hard to keep our faith communities healthy? Why do we persist with our traditions in the midst of widespread apathy and violence? And why do we dare to dream of a world that is guided by love and justice when too often we see a world burdened by fear and insecurity? The answer cannot simply be, as Episcopalians love to say, because we've always done it that way. The answer must be Jesus. We work hard because of Jesus. We persist because of Jesus. We dare to dream because of Jesus. We cannot forget this. We cannot forget him, no matter what we do. We are not given, in this text, Martha's response to the Lord. It would not really make much sense, though, to infer that she suddenly dropped all of her work at that moment and sat alongside her sister. After all, there were still mouths to feed, still places to be set at the table, still broken fragments of this or that to be gathered up and repaired. There still are all of these things to be done, and there always will be. And thanks be to God for the grace we are each given to do the necessary, unglamorous work that sustains us. It is holy work, done upon the holy ground, that is in fact everywhere once we remember to look for it. So no, you are not a Martha, and neither am I. You are not a Mary, and neither am I. All of us are both of them, and neither, for love requires us sometimes to strive and at other times to be still. They are not separate paths, but merely the varied landscape of the single way back home. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "I am the way." And yet, in your search for yourself, you still feel a longing for that one definitive identifier, that purest distillation of your soul. Let it be the one name that calls each of us back to our deepest truth. Jesus. You are a follower of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. We are both servants of Jesus and lovers of Jesus. Will you follow him back to yourself? Will you not forget him for as long as you live? This is not a trick question. So this morning, I leave you with this prayer, which is the prayer of both Martha and Mary, way back there in Palestine, and right here in this church, this morning, among us. And the prayer is from the Psalms of David and says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation." Amen.